Chapter 17 tonight, John chapter 17. I've been asked to announce anyone entering the 4th through 7th grade in the fall who would like to attend junior camp at Mount Moriah. The registration form and the $50 registration fee is due today, if possible. You can see Benjamin Gallion or Bob Mann for the details. It might be good if we can to extend this a little bit so those who are not here tonight can have an opportunity for this as well. But if at all possible, if you have questions about that, go in next fall now, 4th through 7th grade. If you're interested in going to Mount Moriah, see Ben Gallion or Brother Bob Mann. It's one and the same. It doesn't matter if you go to Ben or Bob. They look alike. They sound. I'm kidding with you. Bob's leaving. He's leaving back there. That's good. Yes. We have a good time at Buffalo Ridge. We really do, especially with Benjamin. We have a good time with him. What we've learned about Ben is he's a good Baptist. Don't leave any kind of dead animals around or he's going to eat them, I'll guarantee it, all right? John chapter 17, this is part two to the message that I've begun with you. I began it on Wednesday night. It's a message on the Lord's Prayer. And I tell you what a challenge it is just to study the Lord's Prayer with you. We're asking God to give us an understanding of this chapter. And as I said, just opening it up on Wednesday night, we are treading on holy ground. We really are. This is the night before the Lord Jesus will be crucified for the sin of the world. And he is praying and pouring his heart out to the Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit recorded it for us so we can look at it and read it and get some helpful material out of it. And we're asking God to speak to our hearts. Look at verse number 1, John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, I tell you, we're treading on holy, holy ground. We'll not get any further than verse 5. I hope I can get that far tonight, okay? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll challenge us from the Word of God as we study your prayer that you prayed to your Heavenly Father. Would you help us to get a grasp on it, and may we apply it to our own lives. May we get help for our own lives today, in Jesus' name, amen. I do encourage you to go back to Wednesday night to get the introduction and the first part of this message. The Lord's Prayer that is compasses this entire chapter here can be broken down into three major sections. First of all, it's the section where he's praying concerning himself. That's verses 1 through 5. Then he begins to pray concerning his disciples. That's verses 6 through 19. And then he begins to pray concerning New Testament believers. That's you and that's me in verses 20 through verse number 26. Now tonight we are still under major thought number 1, and that is prayer concerning himself. This is verses 1 through 5. We've already given several things here. Let me just go back and tap it on the head. In verse number 1, prayer concerning himself, first of all, we saw his petition. That's in verse number 1. Secondly, we saw his power. That's in verses 2 and 3. Now tonight we pick up our study in verse number 4, and that is we see his proclamation. Look at verse number 4 and let's dig into this verse here and let's get some help for our own lives. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what he proclaimed. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now what a tremendous proclamation this was that the Lord Jesus made. What a challenging proclamation that the Lord Jesus made to his Heavenly Father. He proclaimed that he had glorified the Father on the earth and that he had finished the work that his Father had given him to do. I hope you have a life verse. If you don't, it's not necessary, but I would encourage you to get a life verse. People look at life verses differently. My life verse, I just read it, John chapter 17, verse 4. This is what I've adopted as my life verse. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. My life verse is what I'm striving for. This is what I hope one day the Lord can look at me and say, you glorified me on the earth. You finished the work that I gave you to do. Now, as we look at this proclamation here, we learn several things that we see he is saying, and it's a blessing that he said it, but we can learn from it. We can apply these truths to our lives. Now, I'm going to break this verse down for you. Look at number one under this. This is proclamation number one. Here it is now. I'm just taking it straight from the text. Here's number one. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. See, the Lord said that he had spent his time on earth glorifying his heavenly Father. This tells me that the Lord Jesus thought of his Father's glory and his aim was to glorify his heavenly Father. The word glorify means to magnify. It means to make big. It means to honor. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did on the earth brought glory and honor to his heavenly Father. And may I say to you, if we don't know how to apply that to our lives, we got problems. The fact of the matter is this, was his purpose in life, you see. He wanted to glorify his heavenly Father. He wanted to uplift his heavenly Father. He wanted to magnify his heavenly Father. He wanted to make the heavenly Father a little bit bigger in this lost and dying world. And everything we do on earth should be aimed at the same purpose and goal tonight. Everything we do on earth should be done for the glory of our great God. Everything we do should render him glorious, should magnify him in this lost and dying world. By the way, do you realize that everything we do, we either magnify or minimize him? Let me say that again. In everything we do, we either magnify God or we minimize God. We either make him bigger or make him smaller. And I wonder tonight with how we're living our lives on earth, are we living it so we can say, I have glorified thee on the earth? You know, the Word of God gives us a couple of ways that we can glorify God. We can glorify him in our body. And we can glorify him by our fruit. The Word of God teaches this in 1 Corinthians 6:20. Listen, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, there it is now, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. There it is, glorified, magnified. Christ shall be magnified, get it, in my body, whether it be by life or by death. This tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he made this statement, I have glorified thee on the earth, that I can apply that statement to my own life, that I'm to glorify God on the earth. How do I do that? I can do that in my body. You heard put very well tonight from Brother Woodard about how we can use what God has given us in our body for God or for wickedness and for Satan. Do you understand that what you listen to in your body, you need to glorify God with that? What you say, what you look at, what you feel, where you go, how you act in this body, we ought to see the great purpose that we have on earth. And it's not to glorify ourselves. It's not to magnify ourselves. It's not to glorify another human being or magnify another human being. No, we're to glorify God in our bodies tonight. And I wonder tonight, am I using my body to glorify God? We use our bodies to glorify him. But secondly, we can glorify him by our fruit. We've already studied this in John chapter 15, verse 8, where Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, there's the word, that ye bear much fruit. He's glorified in fruit bearing. So shall you be my disciples. I wonder, are we glorifying God in our body? And are we glorifying God by our fruit? Our purpose on earth is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that it may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Do you think a majority of Christians are living for that statement right there, I've glorified thee on the earth? Do you think a majority of God's children on planet earth are living to glorify God or to glorify themselves or something or somebody else? By the way, We need to understand something. Every one of us glorifies somebody. Every one of us glorifies something. And we need to make the conscious decision that we're going to glorify God. He's the only one worthy to be made big. He's the only one worthy to receive glory and honor and majesty. And we can do this in our bodies. So the next time you're tempted to do something to make God small in your body, step back and realize I have a judgment date with God. And I am to glorify God in my body. And the next time you're tempted not to be a fruit-bearing branch, but just live life your own way, understand that our purpose is to say, I have glorified thee on the earth. This is a challenge to me. Let me give you a second thing here. This is proclamation. I've glorified thee on the earth. But notice this, what he said. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. By the way, aren't you glad he finished the work his father gave him? What is this work? It's the work of reconciliation, my friends. It's the work of redemption. It's the work of salvation. If he would have stopped short of the work God his father gave him to do, you and I would be on our way to a devil's hell. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You know, that phrase right there is jammed, packed, full of truths that we can apply to our own hearts and lives. As you break this statement, you see, we can receive some wonderful application for our own lives. Let me show you what I'm talking about. First of all, under this. Now we're looking at these, we're just breaking this verse down, his proclamation. I've glorified thee on the earth, so should we. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, so should we. Let me apply this. First of all, what kind of a work is this? What kind of a work is it? Let me give you several things about this work. First of all, under this, it was a presented work. A presented work. Notice this phrase. It says, I have finished the work, notice this now, which thou, what's the next word? Gavest. Which thou gavest me to do. See, what I mean by it's a presented work is this. This was a work that the Heavenly Father presented to the Son to get done. He gave it as his gift. This is what I want you to do. I'm giving you something to do. See, the Lord knew that this work came directly from his Heavenly Father. John 18, 11, the Lord Jesus said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Luke chapter 2, verse 49, when he speaks as a 12-year-old boy, his mom and his earthly dad, not his heavenly father, but his earthly father. I'm talking about Joseph, not his literal father. I'm just talking about those that were called his dad on earth when they were looking for him as a 12-year-old boy. He said this, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. My Father's business. You know, in the same way, in day by day, moment by moment, and in life's calling, every one of God's children has been presented a work from our Heavenly Father to do. Every one of us. Every one of us. When it comes to a life calling, when it comes to moment by moment, when it comes to day by day, God the Father gives his children a work to do. And I'm going to tell you something. This challenges my heart. Because I'll tell you when I get in trouble. Are you listening to me? I get in trouble when I work on things that my Father did not give me to work on. I start getting overwhelmed when I start focusing my attention on something my Father never gave me to do. Now, friends, listen to me. God has a will in your life is what I'm trying to preach here. And just as Jesus Christ said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, God the Father has given me a work to do. And God the Father's given you a work to do. Sometimes it's the same thing, like knocking on doors, sharing our faith. You understand? Sometimes it's things like read the Word of God, the will of, I'm talking about the work of God, the will of God. What he gives you to do, sometimes it's the same, but sometimes it's different. For me, it's to preach. It's not for everybody. But for me, that's what the work he's given me to do is.
Have you found what God has given you to do? It's a presented work. Number two, it's a personal work. Notice where he says right here, I have finished the work which thou gavest, what? Me to do. Which thou gavest me. What is the Lord saying? The Lord knew that this was a work that was given to him and him only. This is a work that his Father expected him to do. It was a personal work. John 8 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Here's what I'm trying to get across here. In the same way, we have been given something that is right here from God Almighty to us personally for us to do. We have been given a work that is God's will for us to do. For us to do. Do you understand that God is so interested in us? And He is such a God of the individual that He has a work just for you. And He has a work just for me. You know what this means? This means we should get our eyes off of what others are doing. And we should be consumed with what God's will is for us to do. See, this work was a presented work. It was given by God. It was a personal work. It was something that only He could do. But number three, it was a particular work. I get this where the Bible says right here that I have finished the work, not a work, but the work, the work. See, notice the definite article, the here. The work the Father gave the Son was a particular work. It was a specific work, in other words. It wasn't many things to choose from. It was one thing for Him to do. May I say this to you? God has given all of His children a particular work to do for His glory. Not only a personal work, something just for you, but a particular work. Notice He didn't say, I've finished some of the works that you gave me to do. No, He said, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. May I say this to you? The will of God, the particular work of God, I'm talking about the direct will of God for your life, is not something to choose from. Did you hear what I just said? It's not a multiple choice. It's not you can do that or that or that or that and I'm well pleased. No, 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 no. God has a particular work for you. God has a specific work for you. And just like I said, for me, it's to preach the Word of God. And specifically at this moment, it's to pastor this local church. What is it for you? What is the particular work God has told you to do? What is the work God has given you to do? If you're wondering how you can find the will of God, how do I find it? How do I know what God wants me to give my life to? How do I know men, if God's calling me to preach, or ladies, if God wants me to be a Sunday school teacher or something like that. I mean, how do you know what God wants you to do? Let me help you here. The way you find the unknown particular will of God is you just keep doing the known will of God today. Let me tell you how you find what you don't know what it is yet. You just keep the car going in the right direction. Just like I think it's Dr. Clarence Sexton said, finding the will of God. What I'm talking about is the specific will of God. Like me, to pastor, to preach, you understand? The unknown. How do you find it? Well, you keep doing what you know His will is to do. You keep reading the Bible. You keep praying. You keep witnessing. You keep being faithful to church. You keep the car going. The fact of the matter is when you drive down the road at night with your headlights on, you can only see so far, right? If you want to see what's beyond the headlights, keep the car going. Keep gas in the tank. Keep oil where it's supposed to be. Keep the car moving. God may only let you see so far, but eventually, with inside of your headlights, you're going to see it. There it is. But if you stop the car, and you stop putting gas in the tank, and you stop putting oil in the tank, and you pull over to the side for a rest stop because you get discouraged, you may never find out what God had for you in your life. What am I saying? For Jesus Christ, it was this work. And just as Jesus Christ had a particular work, so do you, so do I. Don't settle for anything less than the particular, specific work of God in your life. Find it and give your life to do it. What kind of a work is this? We're just looking at his proclamation. He proclaimed, I've glorified thee on the earth. I hope I can say that some glorious day. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I hope I can say that someday. What kind of a work is it? It's a presented work. He gave it to Jesus Christ, and he's given me a work to do. It's a personal work. He gave it to Christ alone, and he's given a work to me alone. Something from my life. Aren't you glad God's that way? He has something he's called you to do, and only you can do it. It's a particular work. It's not something to choose from. Just choose any one of the above four things. No, it's one thing he wants you to give your life to. It's a particular will. It's a particular work. We move on. It's a work to be performed. Notice what he said here. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to what? Which thou gavest me to do. It's a work to be performed. Get this. This work was not to be considered by Jesus Christ. This work was to be done by Jesus Christ. The Word of God says in Matthew 26, 42, He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Get this, the work that God the Father gave God the Son, God the Father expected the Son to get it done. Are you listening to me? The work that God gives his children, he's not playing cat and mouse, friends. He's not playing hide and go seek. He's not trying to say, let me hide it from you over here. Let me just try to see. I'm just going to play again. No, he wants you to find his will. He wants you to know what his work is for you to do. And then when he reveals what it is for you to do, he expects us to do it. It's a work to be performed. The work that God gives his children is a work that he expects us to do, not just to consider, but give our life to do it. God's will for our lives is not an option. It's an obligation. We must do it because this is what he expects. It's a work to be performed. Number five, it was a work to be perfected. I get that word from this, what he said here. He said, I have finished. I have finished it. When you look up the word finish, you know what it means? It means to perfect. That's where I get it. It's a work to be perfected. It means to complete. It means to accomplish. It means to fulfill. See, the work Christ was given by his Father was a work that he was to finish. And he did. John 4, 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 19, 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We need to understand tonight that the work God has given us to do is a work not only to be done, but it's a work to be finished. We should make it a matter of prayer that God help us to finish what he's given us to do. Listen to me, please. I'm making myself accountable to you. But more importantly, I'm making myself accountable to God. If you ever hear that Jody Jenkins leaves the ministry and he stops preaching, if you ever hear that, I have just become a failure. Because I have stopped short of the finish line. God did not call me to preach for 2 years or 20 years or 25 years. He's called me to preach until I see his blessed face. And in the same way, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means what God calls you to do, he expects you to give your life to it, and he expects you to finish it, and finish it right. God desires for us not only to start and to be faithful in it, that's perfecting, but he wants us to finish it. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus did that for you? I'm just trying to challenge us tonight that what he gave his life to do with the work, that we can apply this to our own heart and life. That just as he had a work that was given to him by his heavenly Father, so have we. Just as he had a work that was given just to him, it was just for him, our Father's given something just for me. Just as he gave him a work, the work, not just something to choose from, but the work to do, God's given me the work he wants me to give my life to. And it's a work that he expects me to do, not just consider, and he expects me to finish, not just do. Then we move on. Acts 20, 24 says, but none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, none of these things move me. Nothing of this moved me. Nothing's going to cause me to sit down. Nothing's going to cause me to get over here on the sidelines and feel sorry for myself. None of these things move me. And I don't count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish what my God has given me to do. God, give this church a backbone like a railroad tie. Give this church a backbone like a piece of steel. God, show us what you want us to do and help us to do it, finish it for the glory of God. Then it was a productive work. I get this because as a result of the Lord Jesus finishing the work that his Father gave him to do, there are some wonderful things available to sinful man. Hey, because he did this work, we have access to God, Matthew 27, 50 and 51. We have redemption, Galatians 3, 13. Our sin can be put away, Hebrews 9, 26. We can be sanctified, Hebrews 10, 7 to 10. We can have spiritual healing, 1 Peter 2, 24, etc., etc., etc. Because Jesus finished the work, you and I who have trusted him have a home in heaven. You looking forward to getting to heaven? Amen. I am. I'm looking forward to getting there. Let me tell you why you can go. Because he finished the work God gave him to do. In the same way, when we finish the work God gives us, it too can produce some wonderful things. I'm not much. And if you ever think I'm bragging on myself, you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. I am only saying these things for illustration's sake. When God laid on my heart to lay down the baseball cleats, put down my catcher's mitt, and go into the ministry, I had no idea what God was trying to do with me. But I can say this to you. All glory to God, and you know that. I have seen some wonderful products. I have seen some wonderful things take place as a result of surrendering to the call to preach. I have watched my own granddaddy, my mom's dad, when he was dying of cancer. He was 72 years old. And I had the privilege of leading that man to Christ 72 hours before he died. And God laid on my heart, he lived 72 years without me and 72 hours with me, and he is kicking up gold dust with the angels. I've watched people come to the altar. I've watched people be saved and be called to preach and seen some wonderful things taking place in different parts of the world, in different parts of the United States of America. Because I've learned something. When you give your life to do the work that God gives you to do, it's a productive work. It's a work that produces some great things. And when we do the daily and lifelong work God has given us to do, it too will result in wonderful things. Determined to give your life to the work God has given you. Let this statement grip your heart and soul. The night before the Lord dies for the sin of the world, he pours out his heart and life, and he says, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The work that you gave me, and to me only. And the work that you gave me to give my life to,
I have done it. I have finished it. And because of that, I stand as a testimony of His grace tonight. I stand as one that say, when I pray, I know He's there. And I put my head on my pillow at night with the peace of God in my heart, that if I drop dead in my sleep, I am with Jesus Christ. Why? Because He finished His work. And so should I. Let me give you a story here, and we're coming to a close. That doesn't mean you're coming to a close. Harry Ironside said, and I quote, "A gentleman who gave much time to visiting among the poor and the sick said to me, 'I want you to go with me to see one of my pets.'" Not an animal, you know, a human being who's one of his pets. And he said, "I went with him. We came to a house set back from the street. We climbed the stairs to a little room. There was a dear mother and her daughter, a young woman of perhaps 32 years old. This 32-year-old or thereabout lady was sitting in a child's high chair. She had been afflicted with infantile paralysis many years before. And for 22 years, that high chair had been her throne. That little high chair was a place where she sat day after day, year after year. She sat near the window with a little desk before her, with a pen and some paper. And she'd use her days to write letters to people that she knew was in affliction and who she knew was going through a trial all over the world. She said, Harry Einstein said, I began to express my sympathy. But she looked at me with the sweetest smile and said, and I quote, "I believe God gets more glory out of me being here in this chair than He would if I could run around. I'm content to be here to glorify God." Then she began to talk of service. I found, this Harry Einstein speaking, I found she was doing a wonderful service, sending out letters to other sick ones. She could say, and I quote, "I know all about what it means to be shut in. I know what it means to be unable to walk, unable to carry out my most cherished ambitions. But I know too how wonderfully the blessed Lord can come in and fill the soul. And so I commend Him to you." That's what she would write people. See, what this lady was doing was she was glorifying God on the earth. And she was finishing the work that God gave her to do. By the way, this is ever the order as well. Everything in the Word of God, it's not incidental. Notice, "I have glorified Thee on the earth" comes before "I finish the work which Thou gavest me to do." And in the same way, we ought to be able to say, "I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You've given me to do." Do you realize that good people, godly people, can mix those two things up? Godly people can get so anxious about finishing the work God's given them that they pour their whole life into the work, into the work, into the work, into the work. But it wasn't done for the glory of God. See how tonight kind of intertwingles with this morning? Don't be guilty of finishing a work without glorifying God on the earth. Can we make a commitment to the Lord? "I want to spend my life to glorify You. And if You'll show me what Your work is for me, I'll do it. I'll finish it. And I'll trust You with the results." Can you say with the Lord, honestly,
Can you say with the Lord, in all sincerity and all honesty, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This is my desire. This is my life verse. And I'm so challenged by it. Thank God Jesus could say that. Amen? Rejoice in that. But be challenged by that statement and say, Lord, help me to be able to say the same thing someday. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord, to learn from this verse. Help us to be able to say, as you said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Father, take this thought and use it. Glorify yourself. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I'm stepping down here with you on the ground level. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You know, it's amazing how the Lord, several times whenever I'm preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and some of you all have even shared that when you're coming from like Brother Gary's Sunday school class or something like that, how the messages intertwine with each other. That's how God works. And tonight I had no plans of trying to intertwine these two messages, the judgment seat this morning and the work God's given you to do tonight. But the Lord is showing me in my own preaching how it complements one another. You know, this life really is about God. It really is. This life's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this church. It's not about your Sunday school class or your bus route or your family. It's about God. He and He alone is worthy. He and He alone should be glorified, uplifted, and praised. And I wonder tonight, can you repeat this verse to your Savior? Can you repeat this verse to your Heavenly Father? I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight about just glorifying Him more. Or maybe God is speaking to you tonight about really getting serious about finding the work that He's given you to do. However God is using this, would you respond? Come to the altar, ask God to help you. Some of you, it's a good thing. You want to come and surrender yourself to the work God's given you. If He'll just show you what it is. And friends, listen to me. If that's to be an electrician, then that's the work God's given you to do. If that's to be a school teacher, if that's to be a restaurant manager, if that's to be a waitress or a waiter, or somebody that works in a print shop, or a CEO or a CPA, I mean, you name it. Have you found the work God's given you? Some of you just want to come and say, God, help me find it. And help me give my life to it. And to finish it. I think it'd be good tonight, and I'm tarrying here a little bit, but I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me. Some of you precious old timers, and I mean that with the utmost respect, and you know that. Our precious senior saints, would it not be a worthy prayer request to say, Lord, help me finish. Help me finish. Help me not to quit. Help me not to stop. Help me to pick up speed. Help me to approach the finish line with the hammer down. Help me to keep on going through the finish line full speed. I think it'd be great to see some precious senior saints leave your seat tonight. Come to this altar. If you can't kneel, just sit down on the front pew just to do nothing but say, God, help me finish. Help me finish.
senior saints, young people, teenagers, children. Children, it'd be a great thing for you to come at your young age and say, God, show me the work that you have for me. Show me the work you have for me. Make it real to me. Help me to understand what it is. And help me to give my life to it. Folks are already responding. You come on. Come on now before we even pray. Get out of your seat. Come to this altar and say, God, show me this work. God, help me to finish. Help me not to quit on God. Help me to finish the work you've given me to do. Understand the work that God's given you to do is a productive work. What about it, teenager? What about it, child? What about it? Will you come and say, God, here I am. Show me your work for me. And I want to commit myself. I'm going to give my life to finishing it. Come on. Come on, Father, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. God is moving. God is working tonight. And as Brother Gary begins to sing, you come. Parents of teenagers, if you see your teen at the altar, you feel welcome to come and pray. You come and pray with them as Brother Gary sings. Come on, friends, let's do business with God tonight. Senior saints, come on, help me finish. Teenagers, come on. Children, come on. Young couples, middle-aged couples, come on. Get busy for God. Do something for God. Give your life to the work God's given you to do, realizing that that work is a productive work. If you don't give in to it, you're going to miss out on some wonderful things. But you give your life to the will of God, the work of God, you're going to see some great things taking place. God help you. God help me. From the balcony down here, come on, come talk to God about it. Ask God to help you give your life to the will of God. Why? Because you have a judgment seat date. You have a date with God. The Lord Jesus Christ has a will for you to do. And if you don't give your life to Him, you'll answer for it. I want to have a good judgment day, don't you? I want to have a good time at the judgment seat of Christ. That will not happen if I don't give my life to the work of God. God help us. God help this church to be able to say, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou hast given me to do. God help us with this. May the Lord help us. Been asked to announce there'll be a teen prayer meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. It'll be downstairs in the teen department, 7 p.m. Thursday night here downstairs. Praying specifically for the teen family recharge, I encourage you to be here. I do remind the singles in the single purpose class, you go to the chapel right after church. And may you join me. This verse is not just my desire for my life. This verse is my desire for this church. May it be said. May God Almighty lean over the portals of glory and say, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is glorifying me on the earth. They are finishing the work that I have given them to do. I'm consumed with this. This is what life is about. And while so many Christians are going off doing their own things, may this Christian stay right with God. May you stay right with God. And if every church takes a left turn, may this church plow straight ahead for the glory of God. Glorify God on the earth. Finish the work He's given us to do. May the Lord help us with this. Let's sing this verse together. This will be our closing prayer, leaving the invitation open if somebody needs to come. Let's sing it together. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow, follow. Where He leads me, I You know, I know we're about done. Just keep singing. Just keep playing. I feel the presence of God here tonight. I really do. When I get around where I feel the presence of God, I don't want to leave. I know what you're thinking. Shut him up, let us go home. I'm telling you, I'm feeling pretty good right now. I feel like I'm plowing right on the road God wants me to plow on. May this church fulfill this verse. I hope you feel the same way about it. I hope you're on board with your pastor. I hope you're saying in your heart, oh God, show us the work you have for us. Make it clear. Let us finish it. Glorify in the process. May God help us with this. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. God bless you.